In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ. We come to church and we always hope that we'll have some experience of God. And in our lives, when we go home, I know the hope for many of us is that God would continue to be with us. What are some of the very basic ways we think of this? You know, we like to think to have some sort of abiding presence of God. Most dramatically, and most people, when there's drama in their life, they want God there. For instance, think about it when you have a certain sickness or illness. Oftentimes we pray more earnestly when there is drama in the family or physical illness or sickness or some problem in the country. And in all these ways, we are invoking the name of Jesus Christ and we are asking God to come and make his presence known and to somehow be there because we believe it'll make things better. We believe that he could give us peace in the midst of the storm, that he can somehow calm the problems that we have in our lives. That's what we believe, and oftentimes we practice this in a very interesting way, in that most of the time we live not inviting God into our lives, but when we have problems, we go directly to God, and some people, when they have problems, even avoid going to God. But the thought is, and in the back of our minds is always that when Jesus comes, the drama is going to be calmed, and somehow there'll be healing, there'll be peace, and that everything will be okay. It's not always the case. Sometimes it happens a little differently. And sometimes what we're asking for, we don't quite know. Sometimes when we want Jesus to come, he brings some drama. When we invite Jesus, he is not primarily concerned with our comfort. He's concerned with the salvation of our souls. And so although as a kind of religious mentality that would say that we should invite God into all of our problems, oftentimes when we do this, we don't really want God's presence there at all. We want what we think God's presence should be, but we don't necessarily want the real God, the living God, to be there present. Today, we read the case of the two demoniacs. Jesus going to a Gentile land. We know this because of the herds of pigs that are being watched there, that are being shepherded there. And what he encounters is two demoniacs that are in a graveyard. As we mentioned a month or so ago, graveyards were places for unclean decay and bones. To touch a dead body was unclean. But it's not just that these men are living among graves. They're also demonically possessed. In other gospels, it says, with legions of demons, filled to the brim with demonic power, chained exceedingly fierce, and in their fierceness, scaring people as they go by. These men did not invite Jesus into their life. There was no desire for God to come and save them. They were possessed. And when they encounter Jesus, the first thing they say is, "What do you have to do with us? Have you come here to torment us early?" The demons are not happy with the presence of Christ, as we would assume they wouldn't be. But Jesus, of his own volition, makes his way to this Gentile land, to this unclean place, and he heals these two men, even though he wasn't invited. And the way that these men are healed is that our Lord allows the demons to enter the swine. And by this we know that the Lord of heaven and earth has all power over the demonic elements. And that when he says stay, they stay. When he allows them to enter into the swine, they enter into the swine. And when he judges, they will be judged. But our Lord allows them to enter the swine. And of course, we see an icon of what the demonic realm wants to do to us. if they could, to drive us mad and drive us into killing ourselves in some sort of vicious, chaotic display. All this herd of swine, these unclean animals, turn on themselves and throw themselves into the abyss and drown. This is exactly what they would do to us. I've mentioned it years ago, but Elder Sofroni would say not just that the demonic element or all the demons would do this to us, but if God gave the permission to one demon, just one demon would do this to us, because their power is great and our power is often so very weak. The swine die. Now, these men were healed. In other Gospels, they're sitting there in their right mind, and they want to become disciples of Jesus. But what does it say about those people of the village? Christ has done this dramatic thing. He's healed these two people that were destitute and feared, and he has rid the place of demons. But in doing so, he's cost these people of the village some great economic loss. I mean, all of their pigs have killed themselves. This is not meat that can be harvested. This is a livelihood that's been thrown into the abyss, that's gone to waste. And much more than that, they've seen a power that they might not be familiar with. Who is this man? Now, in all three synoptic gospels, Jesus just got done calming the seas before he comes to this demoniac. Who is this man who can tell the demons to go and they enter into the swine, and that it results in such a miraculous healing? They have witnessed the power of God. Now, many times in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see the images of people who encounter the power of God. It's not a very comfortable experience. We like to think of God as cuddly and warm. But, you know, even the angels of God can be terrifying. When the angel visits Mary to announce that Jesus will be born in her womb, he says, "Fear not." He does not say, "Awe not," or "have no awe," as many have said that fear means reverential awe. He says, "Fear not," because in the presence of God, one can be terrified. When Job speaks to the wind, he is undone at what God says to him, and he recognizes his place on this earth. When Isaiah stands before the throne, when if you go through the prophets, if you go through Moses, at each revelation of the divine, the people do not relax and get cozy. It's very uncomfortable. It's very exposing. And the presence of God causes fear. It can cause fear. So not only have these people with their herds of swine lost their livelihood, which was the sacrifice required for the healing of these particular two men, but they have also seen the power of God. And how do they respond to this? They all go out to greet Jesus and say, "Please leave us. Get out of here." No, seriously. This is how we also respond at times. Again, we like to think that we want God in our lives. We like to think that we want His presence to be heavy upon us and that Him to work miracles. But when God shows up, it's not always comforting, good, and happy things. Oftentimes, it is the shame of the exposure of our own uncleanness. Oftentimes, it is the very presence of something that scares us. Each person who is healed in the gospel no longer is a victim of their illness. They have to take responsibility for their lives after Jesus heals them. We often want healing, but we don't necessarily want the responsibility of what it's like to be healed. We want God to show up, but we don't want Him to change us. We often want Him to change the other people in the situation. We want Him to heal us. Particularly, I would love God to help me lose 20 pounds. But I'd love Him to do that by melting it away magically. I certainly don't want to slow down on what I put in my mouth. You see, if God were to show up, I would have to change my lifestyle, because that's what's required. And so we see that they come out and greet our Lord, and they say, "Oh, please go away." There's no explanation outside of that they ask Him to leave. And what does Jesus do? It does no drama here. He simply leaves. He hops in His boat, it says, and He goes to the other side. And that is exactly the way the Lord can often lead us. In those areas of our life where we avoid the presence of God because of the discomfort it brings. In those areas where possibly by our passions we have allowed demons to reign, the presence of God is uncomfortable. And so we avoid it. But our Lord, although He'll come to us many times, even though we haven't invited Him, He's always coming to us. He's always wanting to reconcile. He's always wanting to heal us. Even though we're unclean at times, full of dead men's bones, dead inside, He comes to us, uninvited. And if we send Him away, He goes away. He seems okay with that. It's not offensive. He seems okay with that. He honors our freedom. He honors the fact that we might think that we really want Him around, but more often than not, we really don't want Him around. And He, in a sense, says, "Okay, I won't cramp your style. I'll let you be sick. I'll let you be the way you are." So as we contemplate today's gospel and as we think of our own spiritual lives, might it be good not only to have our Lord come to us, but to receive a welcome? And the one way to do this is to acknowledge that the Christian faith is not about being happy and well-adjusted and feeling good all the time. The Christian faith in the presence of God is sometimes radically uncomfortable. It is shame, embarrassment. It is looking at ourselves and seeing the filth. It is getting rid of our favorite demons. It is being exposed to those things that are wrong with us and being asked to say, "Would you rather have me," as Jesus would say, "or would you rather have your sin?" And having the responsibility to make a choice. The Christian life is tough in this way. It's hard. Now, we have made it very palatable, but it is time for us to change this mentality. That includes for a church. You know, not every dysfunction implies that God is absent. Sometimes dysfunction is allowed to reign so that people can wake up and see that there is dysfunction. If God were to placate and heal every wound and to make everything good and happy all the time, there would be no texture. We would think it was normal. But outside these walls, there's suffering. And you know, inside these walls, there's suffering. And the only one who can bring authentic transformation, healing, and even comfort to our situation is Jesus Christ. So it behooves us to examine our own souls. And when we invoke the name of God, when we invite Him into our situations, to be ready for anything and to take the discomfort that sometimes comes and to even offer that to God. "Although you have come and it has caused me to lose my livelihood, to lose things that I loved, my sins, my passions, it is more important that your presence is here. Because in your presence we can find health, healing, transformation. Although we are afraid, God, be present with us. May God bless us to not be like those people in the city of Gadara or Gethsemane. Excuse me, Gennesaret. I knew I'd make one mistake today. But let us welcome him and resist the anxiety and stay. And when we're uncomfortable, let us recognize that God may be very close. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.